This message entitled, To Be a Berean, A Matter of Yes, was delivered to Christ our Rock Bible Church on September 24th, 2017 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren, Jr. The scripture reference is Acts 17:10-15.
The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Caesarea. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But when the Jews in Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the by sea. But Silas and Timothy remained there. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed.
Amen. Thank you. This is a fairly familiar portion of Scripture about what it is to be a Berean. From this Scripture, churches have named themselves. There are, you know, Berean Church of Philadelphia or Berean Church of this or that or whatever. And they get the idea from what these Bereans were like, and simply making it clear that that's a positive thing to be like. And so the message itself is going to be found a little differently in this little section of Scripture, but it's still a message none the same. So, praise God, would you join me in prayer as we come before this today? Father, thank you, Lord, dear God, for your heart in all of this, that we can know, dear God, from your holy word. It's from your word. It's not from our own understanding. It's from your word, dear God, that exactly what it is, Lord, to be a Berean. To be a Berean. And I pray, dear God, that you'll have your way in every way, this day and every day. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise God. Amen. Acts 17, beginning with the 10th verse. A fellow by the name of Judd Wilhite wrote a book, and I mentioned this briefly a few weeks ago. And the name of the book was called The God of Yes. The God of Yes. And he gives his own testimony in this devotional that he wrote. He says, long after I said yes to God in my life, I still doubted whether he had said yes to me. I felt I'd never be good enough. I'd never measure up. Never ultimately please him. You see, when you are convinced that someone, where you aren't convinced that someone likes you, it makes it challenging to trust that person for every aspect of your life. He goes on in his testimony to say, I feared God with the God, I feared that God was the God of no and not yes. After all, don't the Ten Commandments say again and again, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that? Many, many people have their focus on God in that light. He's going to tell me not to do these things. And that's one reason why I don't want to really get too close to God, because he's going to tell me that he doesn't want me to do some of the things I'm doing. The God of no, Mr. Wilhite calls it. The God of no. I mean, isn't God mainly just trying to get our attention to stop us doing bad things? Now, isn't that the way a lot of people approach God? It's the way a lot of people see it. Doesn't God want to end the party? Doesn't He want to turn down the music? My faith was boiled down to what I felt I was not doing. And it's just the opposite. Consequently, I looked for joy in other things. I looked for joy in my hobbies. I looked for joy in entertainment. I looked for it in books. I looked for it in learning. And really, you could go on with 100 different things, I'm sure. And similarly, I turned to pleasing people and seeking their approval instead of really checking with God about what pleased Him. And there was this nagging sense, he goes on to say, that I just wasn't cutting it. God was there, and He was putting up with me, but deep down I still felt like He was saying no to me. So I began to compartmentalize my faith and my life. I loved God, but I also held back a lot of my heart. And it never occurred to me to look to Him as the ultimate source of joy in my life. It never occurred to him to just go to God and say, what do you say about these things? And one reason people don't do that is because they know they're doing some things that they know God is going to say, it'd be better that you don't do these things. And they don't want to really give it up in the first place, so they try their best to stay clear of God in any kind of real sense. I want to suggest to you that being a Berean, and we'll get into it, we'll actually go through the verses of this thing, but to be a Berean is really a matter of yes. And I don't say of me saying yes, I mean of also understanding that God has said yes. The Bible says that the promises of God are what? Yea and amen. Amen? Through Jesus, through the cross, He has said yes to us. Now, as I said, many people just figure it'd be a lot easier just to kind of stay clear of God and just, you know, run their own lives because they don't want to feel too restricted. They want the ability to be able to say yes or no to God. But if they only knew what a blessing it is to let Him rule, to let Him be king, to let Him reign over every aspect of our lives, if they only experience that. But you see, in order to truly experience that, you've got to die to self. You've got to recognize that you've been holding back on God, and you've been maybe having something to do with Him, but not going all the way, so to speak. I mean, people that do this, if they finally would come to the place where they, you know, and I say people that will do this, we've all done it. We've all done it. But the point is, we need to come to a place where we recognize we've done it, hate it, turn from it, and get back to God on that point. Amen? Because it's God who is going to take it further for you and help you in it, and you would be absolutely devastated to know that you have put Him off so long. Now, I think many of you know what I'm talking about, because not very many of you were saved early on. It was later that this came, even within the last either few years or last 20 or 30 years. But you spent a good portion of your life without that experience of the Lord. And one of your first thoughts was, how could I have tossed this aside for so long? How could I have done without what God wants to give for so long? You know? You almost feel like taking a, you know, 2x4 and whacking yourself across the head, you know, like the story about the mule, you know, and hitting it with the 2x4 across the head, just getting them to listen. Let alone move the direction that you want them to move. And I think that's true for probably several that are sitting here today. You could just kick yourself for not surrendering to the Lord sooner. But praise God, you still did. Amen? And He's always going to want you to go further. He's always going to want you to go deeper. Amen? So there's always the opportunity, I shouldn't put it so positively, but there's always the ability, I guess, to go ahead and put Him off some more. But you should know by now, of course, that that was kind of the... Can I be frank? No. No, my name's Roy. It's not Frank. But, you know, you want to be... You don't want to be that dumb again, do you? I mean, you got to know that that was a really dumb thing to do. If you had died before you came to know the Lord, you know, where would you be? And so I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just saying, you know by now that this was the greatest thing you ever did, was to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And for you to go further with that and take it deeper and let Him take you deeper, praise God, is the smartest thing you can do. Amen? Amen. Praise God. You'd be absolutely devastated to know that you had insisted on going your own way. Unfortunately, we sometimes get the impression that God is mainly about saying uh-uh to things. Not uh-huh, but uh-uh. No to things. Maybe we picked this idea up from some church somewhere along the line. Maybe we picked it up from somebody's teaching. Maybe it was something we heard on the radio or TV or whatever. Or perhaps we saw other Christians who are constantly harping on other people in order to get themselves together, judging them for not living a more Christian lifestyle. I mean, it could be for many, many reasons we just don't understand, and we end up feeling guilty for enjoying things in life. We've let second parties, other people, shape our view of God more than the Bible and more than Jesus Himself or God Himself and our first-hand experience with Him. If we only base our understanding on God on second-hand sound bites that we hear from here or there, we can be left with a sense that God is anti-everything. And believe me, that's the way a lot of people look at the Lord. You know, He's going to stop me from doing this. He's going to stop me from doing that. I'm not going to be able to enjoy this anymore. And so forth and so on. I mean, He's pretty much anti-life. That's the way a lot of people look at it. That's why a lot of people shove Him aside. They'd rather have their own rule, their own reign. But they fail to realize that God's the King. Amen? Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He can do it all. And He can do it better than you can. And He can do it better than I can. And He can do it better than anybody else we know can. Amen? But something is desperately wrong when our impression of God is that He is mainly about things He is against, whether they might be real or they might be imagined. That's not the focus of our God. Our God is focused on who we can be in Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. And not about what He is all for. And please don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to suggest that God just wants to wink the eye at things and let things go and so forth. No, He's against, you know, plenty of sinful behavior. I go further and say, all of sinful behavior, surely God's against it. But when you come and let Him change your heart and change your life and you become His people, you become His person, you also want what God wants. So you're not going to spend all your time going, well, He won't let me do this anymore, He won't let me do that anymore. You know, that's not your focus if you really come before the Lord in humility and surrender. He is for many healthy ways of living. He most certainly is for people to know Him and to experience all of life. And not just because you're guilty, but as a gift. I want you to think about something. If you just set sin aside, and where He shows it up again like the next day or something, and all of a sudden you see something else, get rid of that. Take it from day to day. Give it all over to the Lord. Amen? He's the only one that can get rid of these things. You can promise to do so, but then the next day or 3 days later or week later, it's back to the same old stuff. Same old, as they say. We've got to get beyond the sin. We've got to get beyond the sinning. And that comes with a relationship with the Lord. It's not just coming up with a list of things I should do and the things I shouldn't do. See, that's the difference between religion and Christianity. And I cringe every time I hear the word religion. You know, I told you before, the word religion is 5 times in the Scriptures and 4 of them are negative. Religion is not the word to be used for this. This is to be Christianity. Religion is people trying to work their way to God and be good enough and do this for God and so forth and so on. That's religion. That's not Christianity. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus, a relationship with God. It's not us working our way to God. It's God revealing that He has come to us through Jesus and the cross of Calvary. Amen? There's a big difference between religion and Christianity. I cringe when I hear the word religion. And a lot of people use it all the time, talking about church, talking about your faith, and so forth and so on. And really, the only time it's used positively is in making clear that it's a negative thing. That's the only way it's used positively. The one place where it's used positively, it is saying that true religion, not the fake stuff, true religion is what? Is being in ministry for the elderly, for the disadvantaged, for the poor, for the widows, for the orphans, hence reaching out to nursing homes and hospitals and things like this with the truth of Jesus. It's the only place it's used positively. This is intended to be a relationship. This is not a list of do's and don'ts. But that's the way some people perceive it. They see the Ten Commandments and they see a whole bunch of don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that. Still there. God still doesn't want us to do those things. But you know what? If we had a true and deep and ongoing relationship with Him, we wouldn't want to do those things either. Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. You see, if we actually lived in His will, we wouldn't be worried about what He tries to stop us from doing. If we abide in Him, we will want to live in the center of His Word. Amen? It's not a matter of struggle, you know, got to get there, got to do better, you know, do more of this and more of that, less of this and less of that. That's not the issue. The issue is a relationship with Jesus. That is what changes the heart. And when the heart is changed, the life gets changed. That's the way it works. Amen? Amen. Amen. And that's God's mercy. That is not His condemnation. That is His mercy that He provides a way to know Him better and better and better. Praise the name of Jesus. Okay? Listen, I want to go right to the text, but before I do, since this is kind of a natural break, I see a couple people fanning and so forth. Do you want the fans on? Kenna, there's a fan right over there. Are you okay? You want that on? Can I turn this one on at least? Move some air? You run up and turn it off if you don't want it. Ah, works better. But this isn't laying on the carpet. Okay? And then that also reminds me.
said love him about five times already this morning, and just never did it. May the light of these candles remind us of living in the Word. Amen? Praise God.
You put that on anytime you want it. Anybody, okay? All right. Acts 17. Did you notice we haven't even got to the Bible yet? But that's okay, because this isn't a very long piece of Scripture. Look at verse 10. Okay? Look at verse 10. And the brethren, this is 17, verse 10 through 15. And the brethren, the other Christians, immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night. Why by night? Why by night? Because they were being troubled. They were being harassed. They were being persecuted back in Thessalonica. It was getting pretty bad. They troubled the people, the rulers of the city, when they heard these things. And, you know, there's all kinds of trouble that got stirred up. But praise God, before that, a bunch of people came to know the Lord. It says in verse 4 of chapter 17 that devout Greeks, a great multitude, in fact, of the chief women, not a few. A bunch of people that heard the message, heard the word of God, praise God, and which was what? The previous verse, that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. That's the message. And that message was needed for 2,000 years ago, and that message is needed today. Especially as so much of the church has diverted itself into entertainment and fluff and all kinds of junk that just don't tell them about Jesus. Don't confront sin. Don't tell people about the cross. You'll offend somebody. Imagine. So we move to Berea now. That's what it says here. They come thither unto a synagogue of the Jews. Praise God, another synagogue was there. He didn't have to go by the river. You know, down by the river. By the way, are you tired of hearing that? Riverside, down by the riverside. Not tired of it? Okay, I'll remember that. All right. It says in verse 11, there were more noble than those in Thessalonica. More noble. This is an interesting word. It's eugenics. Eugenics. It literally means to be well spoken of. We get the word eulogy from this idea. Okay? Eulogy. The eul means well spoken of. It means good. To be of a high rank. They were better people. They had better character. They had the character of the Lord. Amen? Whereas these others, you know, they gathered up unto themselves these lewd fellows of the baser sort that we talked about last week, right? But these are more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they receive the word with all readiness of mind. All readiness of mind. Eagerness. Willingness. Okay? Willingness. Readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, believe me, I have run into people, and I have known people who consider themselves to be Bereans. Because that's the first... This word is chosen out of this verse, and people use it to describe a people that check out the Word of God. Like, I'll go ahead and tell you what the Word of God says, like even from here, from the pulpit. But you don't go back over that? You don't look at that at all? You don't think about it? Now I know you women, you gather on Tuesday, and you do. You go ahead and, you know, you think about what the sermon was about, and you've gone to the Bible, and you've checked out other scriptures that coincide, and so forth. That's being a Berean. But what people have done is, they'll say they're being a Berean, but what they're doing is trying to prove the pastor wrong. I've known people like that through the years. They'll go ahead and they'll get in there and they'll go, hey, well, and either coming against God's word because it's God's word and they don't want to change, or they're coming against what they're just trying to disprove something the pastor says. You know? Well, you're not the Berean does what? Searches the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. It's for the purpose to know in their heart that it is true. All right? It's not trying to prove that it's not true. That's not a Berean at all. That's not even good character. Okay? Does everybody see that? You've got to know that. Because believe me, I mean, through the years, I've seen so many places. I remember we were over at the League at the last place we used to meet, and two women came up, and we had had a Friday night Bible study, and I had misspoken something, okay? Which I didn't want to have done, and I apologized and so forth, and kind of gave the wrong definition of something or other. And anyway, they came up, and they were going to, you know, they were being the Bereans, you know? We're Bereans. We took it home, and we got out the Word, and we found you were wrong. You're wrong about this little thing right here. You said that wrong, you know? And that was a little bit of a clue for me. By the way, neither one of them are around anymore. Because that's not the idea of a Berean. A Berean is not trying to disprove something. The Berean is trying to make sure that they're believing it from themselves. They're not just taking it secondhand. You know, a lot of people will do that. They'll go ahead and they'll hear something and they'll say, well, I believe such and such. But they don't know that. They just heard it somewhere. But they never checked it out. See, the Berean searches the Word of God to see whether it is so. Okay? But it's not for the purpose of throwing it away. It's not for the purpose of being against it. It's not for the purpose of, I found something here. You blow it. It does go to show you, of course, how we need to be ever careful about what we say and how we say it and so forth, and endeavor certainly not to say something backwards. But I'll never forget those two coming up like that and just, you know. Searched. Readiness of mind. See, they want it. They want this thing to be truth. So they search it and they want to find out for sure, for themselves, not secondhand. Therefore, it says, many of them believed. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Almost the same thing, okay, as happened over in Thessalonica before the troublemaker showed up. Almost the same thing. A bunch of people got saved from the message. But this time it's different. Because the Bereans, they wanted it to be true. They wanted the truth, period. And when they knew it was true in their own hearts and in their own life, man, they were settled on it. Amen? They were not going to be swayed by somebody else coming in and trying to persuade them to go in a different direction. But when the Jews of Thessalonica, no kidding, right? The Jews got together in Thessalonica. They heard that he was in Berea and he's preaching about this Jesus. Because they see, that's the message. That's the only message there can be. The same thing that was back in the early part of chapter 17. That Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. That's the message. And it was needed 2,000 years ago, and I'm telling you, it's needed right now. It's needed today. No doubt about it. With all the other fluff and junk that goes on and, you know, people being fooled, you know, send my $58 in and you'll be planting a seed, you know, and all this junk that's out there. You know where that $58 is going, don't you? I mean, come on, no kidding. The Jews in Thessalonica, they heard that Paul was in Berea and he was preaching the same stuff, that they came thither also and stirred up the people. No kidding. Well, I've seen that more than I've ever wanted to. And then, immediately, the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. It wasn't just a drive to the beach, people, you know. I mean, they weren't getting out the surfboards and having a good time. No, it was to get him out of this place because trouble was stirring up. Trouble was brewing. So Paul, you go on with the ministry. You go on. But Silas and Timothy abode there still. It says in verse 14. And they that conducted Paul, this is a neat word. Listen to this. This is kathistomy. Kathistomy. Istomy means to stand or to stand against something. I've said this before that anistomy, for example, is standing against sin. Okay? All right? And now the first half of the word is cath. Okay? You know what that is, don't you? When they cath you, something goes in. Something goes up. Right? Heart catheterization. All the way up to the heart to check out what's going on in the heart. Okay? Also comes with the idea of cleaning something out. Reaming something out is part of the indication. And they conducted Paul. They took him and they shoved him out to sea. I can picture it. A whole group of them shoving this boat out into the sea and, you know, getting him started on his journey. Getting him out of there. He's going to get killed in this place. Why? Because he's giving everybody Jesus. Oh, how horrible! Imagine giving people Jesus. But you see, the world doesn't want that. So the world's going to come against it. You know, and you're going to take a step towards the Lord and go deeper and deeper in Him and further in Him. And guess what? Somebody's not going to like it. You shouldn't be surprised at that, you know? They that conducted Paul. It means to set down, to cause to stand. It is the, as I say, it's the Greek word kathistomy. And the opposite is to reduce to inactivity, to abolish, and to cease the raging. So look at the world, you know? They're looking at it like Paul's the troublemaker. Paul's the one going around telling everybody about Jesus, so he's the troublemaker, you know. So shove him aside. But that's not what these people are doing. They're rescuing Paul. They're saving Paul. They're sending him forth to another place. It says they go to Athens. Do you have any idea what happens in Athens? We might find out. We might find out about it next week, okay? And it's probably going to be the next place we might be, okay? Is in Athens. Brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy for to come to him with all speed, they departed. They departed. So now they're going to be together again. They're going to be in Athens, and it's a good thing. Because wait till you see what happens in Athens. Athens is not a big famous seaport. It is not known for its commercial greatness or even its politics. It is known for the intellectual. One of the hardest things to break through when it comes to giving people Jesus. Because everybody thinks they know what they know. And, you know, I think this and I think that, you know. The intellectual. In fact, the men of Rome used to come to Athens. Men of Rome used to come to Athens, which is in Greece. You'd think you'd stay in Rome. But the men of Rome used to come to Greece and gather at Athens and come for their university training. You know, get their minds going. Paul tells them, he says, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. You're too superstitious. You got all these fake gods around here. Now, that doesn't go over very well either, as you'll see. And we probably will see that next time. Praise the Lord. So this is what happens at Berea. You see, if you are yesing God's yes, okay, your worry will not be all wrapped up in the difficulties that happen to come around you or happen to come into your lives, into your life. It's that's not going to be the focus, right? If you're yesing yes, if you're yesing God's yes to you, so it's, you know, yay and amen, all right, then you're going to have less and less fear of the antagonists You're going to have less and less fear of the persecutions and the persecutors. You're not going to have a whole lot of problem being led of the Holy Spirit if you're yesing God's yes and recognizing deep down in your heart He is not the God of no. He is the God of yes. Not that there aren't no's along the way, because He's got to make it clear, this doesn't fit, that doesn't fit, this doesn't fit. You know, that's true. But that's not His focus. His focus is yes. Jesus is God's yes as He hung from the cross at Calvary. Amen? Always remember, the promises of God are yea and amen. Yes, and so be it. So go ahead and check out the Word of God. But don't go at it like you're trying to, you know, come up with a different idea, you know. Go ahead and check out the Word of God. See if it isn't so. Praise God. And it is so. Because God knows what He's talking about. That's what we said last week, remember? God knows what He's talking about. So go ahead and check out the Word of God. Don't do it for the purpose of trying to prove Him wrong or Him unfaithful or the preacher wrong or the preacher unfaithful. That's not the point. Okay? Now that doesn't mean you can't look at something that is false and recognize it as being false. Okay? I'm not saying that. But I've seen so many people just, you know, like I said, you know, you know, pointing the finger. Here's something right here. You blew it. Being a Berean is not about trying to prove Him wrong or unfaithful, or the preacher, or the elder, or anybody else, but rather in showing and revealing Him to be true so others will know that He is the only answer. Our lives need to be lived to make it clear, to shine out the fact that God is right and God is true. Amen? That's what there is. And as people see you living that yes to His yes, then they see that they can do it too. Amen? They come, they let Him be everything to them. They let Him be their yes. And then they can yes His yes. So here is yes. Live His yes. And make His yes your yes. It's really the only way. Amen? Otherwise, you're living in a place where you're really saying no to God. You really are. If you are, I mean, even if you go ahead and make up your own thing, you know, I think this about this, you know, you're becoming God. You've just tossed out what God said and said, you know, this is what I believe. Well, the purpose is not to pronounce everything to everybody about what you believe. The purpose is to go with God, with Jesus, with the Word of God and say, this is what God says. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. And this, I'm telling you, we're seeing it already. I haven't pointed it out much, but we're seeing it already. This is multiplying. This is rolling. This is becoming bigger and bigger. They go to Thessalonica and, you know, he goes ahead and gives them Jesus and a bunch come and try to thwart it and so forth. So he goes on to another place. He goes to Berea and so forth, and people get saved because they're noble. They've got the character of Jesus. They want to believe God's truth, and so they then do believe it. And the Jews from Thessalonica, they come over and they try to stir up trouble. So Paul gets sent off on a boat to Athens, and then later the other two join up with him, but it was important to get Paul out of there now. And they get to Athens, and the others get to Athens, and boy, did they need all of this other experience. Just the way we do. That's why I'm saying what's available to them 2,000 years ago is available to us. What was needed by them 2,000 years ago is needed by us. Amen? So that when we have these things that come against God's truth, I think this, and I think that, I learned about this thing, and this is what I believe, and so forth and so on. Yeah, well, be a Berean. Get into the Word of God and see if it is so. Amen? And the fact is, God's going to make it clear what it is. Amen? And so, you know what? and that grows you. It grew you in Thessalonica. It grew you in Berea. It's going to grow you in Athens. And when you get to Athens and you come across all this other stuff and all these people with their false ideas and their agendas and their fake gods, and you know, Paul just says, I do perceive that you are far, far too superstitious with all these fake gods. Did you know that didn't go over well? I mean, do you know that? It didn't go over well then, and it doesn't go over well now. Amen? Just understand that. Don't worry about it. You don't have to conform to what the world says, or even what the false church says. Amen? You just go ahead and be that Berean. It really is a matter of saying yes to God's yes. But you can't get there if you're busy seeing God as the God of no. Can't do this, can't do that. Now, like I said, I'll be real clear. I'm not saying he doesn't say, this is bad, that's bad, that is. Sure he does. But his focus is, I want you to live the yes of God. I want you to live in me. See, then if you're living in the midst of his yes heart, you don't want the no. You don't want the other stuff that he says, don't do, don't do, don't do. I mean, why would you? Because you see a glorious life ahead. You've already seen bits and pieces of a glorious life from the past even, as you surrender to the Lord. And praise God. As you go more with that, as you go deeper with that, praise God. Praise God. He brings you into a bigger yes than you've ever known before. Amen? A bigger yes. So, yes, his yes. Amen? Yes, his yes. Say yes to him. Amen? Praise God. His promises are yea and amen. What does that mean? Yes, and so be it. The promises of God. You hang on to that. And you don't let go. I don't care who in the world or who in a false church tells you to let go. You don't let go of what God says. Now, listen to me. It's got to be what God says. It can't be your interpretation. It can't be your version. It's got to be what he says. And there he says it right there. Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. I think that's the same thing he preached in Berea. And praise God, a bunch of people, it says, honorable women, which were Greeks, and men, not a few. But then those Thessalonians come into the picture, you know. They hear that he's busy preaching that Jesus again, so they come and try to shut it all down. And praise God, it doesn't shut it all down. The truth still went forth. A bunch of people got saved, and on to the next place. Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. Yea, and amen. Amen? Yea and amen. Praise God. Say it. Yea and amen.
Yea and amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Is that Charles Stanley does that all the time? Tells people, say this, say that. There might be some logic to some of that. Praise the Lord. You know, you say something, you write something down, then you got it. Then you get it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know Cindy, when she's reading through the Bible, she'll go ahead and highlight. She'll read on the phone, you know, and she'll highlight things she wants to really try to keep track of and so forth. And so then she goes through in a notebook and she writes down all those verses. Because, you know, I haven't gotten into that habit, and I probably should. But it's a way of remembering. It's a way of making it easier to remember if you've written it down. Because otherwise, you can say it, and that's good, okay? But, you know, you make it a part of you, and that makes it even bigger. Amen? So say yes to his yes. Amen? And that's what it is to be a Berean. That's what it is. Praise the Lord. Would you join me, please, in prayer? Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for this call to be this Berean. Help us, dear God, to not use it for the purpose, dear God, of going in a different direction, Lord, not agreeing with you any longer, or somehow changing something and turning it into fluff or whatever, Lord. No, dear God. If we're going to be Bereans, Lord, we've got to be going back to the Word and say, okay, Lord, is this really true? Is this really true? Let God say yes. Do you hear me, everybody? Let God say yes to your questions. Let God say yes to what you're thinking he's meaning by something. If he says no, then understand that. But if he says yes, then say yes to his yes. Amen? Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory be to God Almighty. We want to thank you, Lord. We pray, dear God, that you'll truly have your way in every one of our hearts and lives, Lord. And your name, dear God, will be praised forevermore. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. I'd like you please to turn to number 592. 592. It's Jesus calls us for the tumult. 592. May God have the glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. 592. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day, his sweet voice sounded, saying, Christian, follow me. Praise God.
Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day, his sweet voice sounded, saying, Christian, follow me. Jesus calls.
Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go in God's peace. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah.